What's up, bad boys? Thanks for clicking on this podcast today. This month, we got a very special treat for you. It's Mecha March, and we're going to be running down a different mech anime every week this month. That's four animes, and that's four chances to talk about big, bulbous, cool, giant robots. Isn't that fun? So sit back, relax, get in that goddamn robot, Shinji, and have a nice Mecha March.
It's bad. Anime.
Hey everybody, I'm John.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, the podcast where we decide,
is this anime bad?
And we're continuing Mecha March, and this time, it's not a Gundam. Hooray.
It is not a Gundam. We'll see how the month ends up. Anyway, this one I've actually...
There's always next week.
There's always next week, my friends. This one I've actually been wanting to talk about for a very long time, but I guess never found it appropriate, and I didn't know where to find it. I have it on DVD, but I didn't know it was readily accessible online until I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, it's right there.
You can
purchase multiple parts on YouTube, and
wow,
there's multiple parts to this, but to avoid any confusion, we're just covering the original. It wasn't called Part 1, but it's retroactively enabled Part 1 of Megazone 2-3. I thought it was 23 my entire life until rewatching it.
I thought it was 23 my entire life until this morning when I looked up the title.
Yeah, sure. I was a little betrayed by that, but you know, it makes sense. Sure, 2-3. I don't know why it's called that.
Yeah, I actually do know why it's called that.
Really?
Yes, it's because you know, we'll kind of get to this point because when they have the big mind fuck where they kind of zoom out and reveal that they actually are living on a spaceship and not 1980s Japan, crazy.
Yeah.
They say that the ship that they're on is 23, and it's 2-3, and it's called a megazone.
Oh, right.
So all of humanity lives in different megazones. They just happen to live in the megazone called 2-3. That's the number that they live in.
Oh, yes. I definitely missed that point. I did rewatch this for the first time in between 2 and 4 o'clock this morning.
There you go. And that was the first time since you were what, 16, 15?
In between the ages of 15 and 17, I have no idea when would have watched this, but it's kind of funny how it plays out because for the long time listeners, they'll know my gateway anime was an 80s OVA, Campus Special Investigator Hikaru-on.
Right.
So I guess I was subconsciously looking for the 80s OVA style. So I saw this, and you know, like those shitty DVDs where it's like the tiny piece of cardboard with the plastic little flap.
Yeah.
So yeah, the DVD was in that case. I saw it at FYE for probably like $5, and I'm like, sure.
Didn't even get a box. Goddamn.
Didn't get a legit shell case. It was like, you know, the bargain DVD packaging.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got that and I'm like, okay, this looks cool. And I put it in when I was, like I said, anywhere between 15 and 17. I don't want to say I was blown away, but I was super intrigued. I'm like, what is this? But it does have that art style that I've come to know because, of course, this is fucking AIC.
Yeah, it is definitely AIC. I was like embarrassingly so. It is AIC. When I started watching it, I was like, "This looks like this and that and this and that and everything that we've seen from the '80s must be the same studio."
Anyone looked it up, and sure enough, it is.
Yep.
But funny enough, this is the first AIC production that wasn't porn. And from what I can gather,
how nice of them.
This is the second anime OVA ever that wasn't porn. Because original video animations for a while were exclusively pornography.
All of them?
For a little while, up until 85 when this happened. There was one, I found that from my limited research, there was one OVA before this one, not by AIC, but someone else, that was non-pornographic, and it didn't really sell well.
Wow.
This, however, sold 200,000 copies in its first year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty great. This is back in the 80s when like VHS tapes cost like $80.
Wow.
So this thing made $16 million in its first year.
That's insane.
And
that's really good.
Yes, exactly. And that's 80s money. So if you do the inflation calculation on that, forget about it, how much it made by today's metrics. So this thing was wildly successful.
So you're saying this is like watching a Hollywood film on Pornhub?
How do I put this? Sort of. Yeah, like the media, like something it transcended the medium, and then porn. Let's say if Pornhub afterwards became not all porn,
because, like a YouTube equivalent.
Basically, if this like this was the seminal title that made people realize, wait, all these OVAs don't have to be porn.
I could use this medium for something else.
Yeah, exactly. Hence why a lot of the early OVAs still like were taken from porn magazines, but not porn. But they just didn't have the porn in them, like Ixer 1, for example. They're like, all right, let's just take out all the lesbian sex scenes. And also, why was there a bunch of lesbian sex in this giant robot
in
show?
In this mecha anime.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what the mecha genre has with just like naked ladies, but it's actually pretty crazy how far it goes.
Funny enough, the mecha genre also has a thing with pop singers.
Yes. Yeah, you know.
Early mech was full of them.
You're right. Like every mech, like this one had a big pop singer, but yes. You know, she was ended up being a computer.
Yeah, she was an AI.
She was generated,
basically a VTuber
singer. Yeah, VTuber, exactly.
Again, Japan being weirdly on the nose with AI and VTubing and just predicting shit that's
strangely ahead of the curve. This is kind of off topic, but Speaking of 1980s Japan, I heard a quote recently from this video that I was watching about Japan's economy.
Okay.
And the guy said that Japan has been in the 1980s since 1960.
Wow. Wait, what? That's interesting.
It's great point, because they haven't really evolved technologically past the 1980s or 1990s.
They didn't try to, yeah.
But they were way ahead of the curve in the 1960s, but now they're still in the 1980s. It's wild.
It's especially with somehow like some of the routine stuff that's done over there. Like they still use fax machines and stuff.
It's like, oh, it's crazy. And like they recently went off of floppy disk.
Recently?
We're talking about like months ago.
Oh my God.
Went off floppy disk.
That's insane.
USB drives in Japan. It's the new big thing.
Well, they're just so stuck in their ways a lot of the time. Like, you know, people talk endlessly about how needlessly bureaucratic Japan is and how they don't change until they absolutely have to.
Yeah, I think the idea is that things were going just so well that, like, why change them? Mm-hmm. And that's probably part of the reason that we're seeing in Megazone 2-3 that everybody lives in a simulation of 1985 Japan, because things are just the best.
Yeah, that they made a plot point, like, why'd you pick the 80s Japan? They're like, that's the best time to be alive. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, what a weird, like, culturally relevant thing to say.
Yeah, exactly. And again, ahead of the curve about predicting this kind of stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
But yeah, that's kind of when I realized that, like, oh, they're trapped in this giant computer world. I'm like, wow, the Wachowskis weren't nearly as original as I thought they were.
I guess not. I don't know when The Matrix, like the novel, was written, but this definitely had to have been sometime before then.
Exactly. And like, you know, the Matrix film didn't come out until like the very late 90s. And this is right. And this is 85.
Let's see. The Matrix is a historical novel by... Wait, I'm sorry. This is a different one. It said it's published in 2021. That is not true.
That is not The Matrix. Oh, my God. But anyway, here we are now. The reason why this is also so significant was a lot of the folks behind it.
Okay.
Because basically what happened with mech anime at this time, Gundam changed the whole skew of how mech was being produced and what people wanted. So through Gundam, we got the rise of what they call real robots, where... they really, as the name implies, they wanted to make things more militaristic and realistic.
Mm.
Like if a robot design was impractical or couldn't be pulled off in real life feasibly, mech fans would get mad. That's how much the game changed. We moved totally away from like the Mazinger Z, Getter Robo type of big superhero robots, and people wanted this sense of realism.
Fascinating. So and exciting.
Yes. There was a very particular series. There was one series in particular. Super Dimensional Fortress Macross. Kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Was a floating space city.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everyone knew they were inside a giant space city.
But everybody knew that.
You have a lot of the staff from that bleeding over into Megazone, and that's how this thing got produced. It was originally supposed to be like 26 episodes, and they just completed a bunch of random animation for it. And then the toy sponsor pulled. So they said, oh, fuck, we've sunk too much money out of a bunch of random animation done. Movie?
And they made a three-part movie. But weird part about this is that each part has a different director.
Well, that's the thing. All the stuff they shot, that was just in part one.
Oh,
yeah.
Part two.
Part two was completely different. And they even apparently they radically redesigned the characters in part two. No reason.
They did. I heard about that. And I also heard that there's a multi-century time skip from part two to part three.
Yeah, part three is just unrelated because everyone realized, because Akira came out in the interim, and they're like, wait, we have a gang. We have like a motorcycle gang show about people just discovering a government conspiracy. Let's produce another episode of that. But I'm so sad because one of the animators on Macross didn't come over to this.
Oh.
And that animator happened to be Hideaki Anno. So he was
doing... That is crazy.
So he was doing his own stuff.
He was like, I'm going to build my robots over here.
Well, it's funny because I was reading about Anno, like stuff he did in the interim. I forgot because I think I knew this in passing, but there's a Gundam movie by the name of Char's Counterattack set several years after the original Gundam and actually after Zeta Gundam and Double Zeta. They redesigned the robots for that because they're like, well, we got to sell more robots. And Anno handled the mechanical designs for that movie. So I'm just like, God damn it, Anno, you've just done everything.
Guy has its hands in everything.
We do need to watch Shin Kamen Rider, his Kamen Rider movie that just got released.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That just came out?
Yeah, like came out beginning of last year.
Is it on like a streaming service or something?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. Okay, yeah, they've had that deal with Kamen Rider. That's where we watched Black Sun.
Yeah, that's where we watched Black Sun. That's where they also have Kamen Rider, Amazons, and a bunch of other random...
God, I really hope it's better than Black Sun.
It's good. I looked at it a little bit. It's Anno's take on the original Kamen Rider.
Cool, okay. That'll be fun. He's been getting back into all those legacy media or legacy properties lately with Shin Godzilla, right?
Shin Godzilla, Shin Ultraman, Shin Kamen Rider. He's basically
just
a
doing
kid.
What he wanted for his entire life.
He's a kid playing with his action figures.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is the most endearing thing. I would have loved some action figures from this show because I really dug these small mechs here.
They were interesting, and I didn't really know. You know, it kind of took a while for the movie to get into the mech part of it. And yeah. I was like, oh, this is kind of, I mean, like it's, I was kind of enjoying myself, but I was also questioning.
Where are the robots?
Where are the mechs? Yeah. Yeah. Where's the, and like, of course they're living in a giant mech, which is one thing. But also number two, like the motorcycle that Shoujo finds or his friend gives him in the very beginning is kind of like some government motorcycle, issued motorcycle mech that he is riding one time and then when
he just
turns
into a robot.
It just becomes a robot. So it's like the theory of Transformers very much lives in Megazone 2-3, it seems like.
Yeah, and the transforming mechs was a kind of a trend after Gundam. Gundam didn't really have that, but they just decided, what if they do some cool transforming stuff?
Yeah. So yeah, and this did. Is cool. And this did. Yeah, I really liked how more like petite it was.
Well, that's the thing. The emphasis on realism there, like these were like no bigger than a couple storefronts. So these were still big. But, like, they wouldn't crush a car with its foot exactly.
No, definitely. I very much kind of equated it to the size of the mechs in, like, the first Avatar movie, the blue people one.
Yeah, yes.
Where they kind of just, it's a dude in a suit, and the suit's just, like, maybe two or three times bigger than the guy himself.
Exactly. It's, like, a power suit, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so cool knowing, like, the background, how this thing was made. It also explains that this thing moves so fast. Because
it does move fast.
Because it is essentially a compilation film for a series that never got made and one they didn't even really have a conclusion for. Hence why the film kind of ends with Shogo being like, I didn't get you, but next time. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that was really fascinating. I think I that got a little spoiled for me when I was watching it because I just watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the comments, a lot of the comments were like, what? And then everybody was saying like, oh no, there's a part two and a part three, you have to watch all three parts. And I'm sitting here thinking like, oh wow, okay, that was like a pretty like what, like a nice like hour 20 minutes, it just kind of like blew by. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll like start watching the second and third part right now. And I texted you were like, don't do that.
Yeah.
only watch the first part. That's the only canon event that we're going to be talking about. Do not watch part two and three unless you want to, but we won't be talking about it today.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're kind of, they're basically irrelevant.
It seems that way.
Yeah, because they wrap up the story. Yeah, but the story isn't what's fascinating really about Megazone. It's its impact in the history of mechs and history of OVAs itself, because this would open the floodgates for all the terrible OVAs you and I have sat through over the course of this podcast. So we can blame this guy. Let's try not to let that color our opinion, because, you know, I know it's tough because some of the stuff we've seen was very bad.
Yes, it was. But this, I will say, you know, talking even about the plot and the story, I was very happy with the plot and how it kind of turned out. I mean, obviously it didn't end. Like, I didn't get that ending. But, I mean, the twist was really fun.
The twist was
really
fun. I enjoy the fact that like a pop star was central to the story because that's such a weird 80s Pacific Japan thing to do.
Yeah, it was very weird. I think her name was Eve, right?
Yeah.
And she was controlled by the big computer, Bahamut,
yeah,
or Bahamut, something.
Yeah, yeah.
That controls the entire Megazone and that tricks people into thinking that they're living in 1980s Japan when they're really living in space.
In space in the year like 2400.
2400.
Yes.
I don't even know what year that is. It's like 20,040.
Exactly. I was just like, wait a minute. Because I was like,
100.
I was like, 25th century? No, 2400. Fuck.
No, but they yeah, I really enjoy that component of it. Yeah, I really enjoy that they're in the future. And there's this kind of government group that knows that they're in the future. And they're trying to kind of, the whole movie, they're essentially trying to deactivate this supercomputer. So that I guess they can use the supercomputer's arms in order to fight another band of humans from a different megazone who are attacking their megazone and who they've been in like a constant war slash conflict with for many, many years. So I just thought all the plot elements worked out really nicely here. And like, you know, you had Shoujo as, I guess, the main hero.
Yes.
And then the main kind of like villain was kind of blurry. You had the computer who, sure, tricked all these people, but wasn't really that bad and was trying to be nice.
It was trying to keep everyone alive.
And then you have that guy that's working for the government who just talks like this.
Yep.
And classic 80s anime villain type guy who is fun as well.
Yeah.
He just wants to save the entire Megazone. So he's like, yeah, we need guns, bro. We're getting killed.
Yeah.
So
and there's also,
I enjoyed that.
There's some, yeah, there's some, the undercurrent for like the other people. It's like, all right, we need to liberate ourselves. And then meanwhile, I like how they, I was really intrigued by the subplots here because there were so many girls running around.
There were, yes. And there was like that group of girls that Shoujo kind of became buddy-buddy with them all individually and then realized that they lived together.
Yeah.
And that was kind of funny. I liked their cat. Their cat was cute.
Their cat was pretty nice. And I liked all of them because they all had different points. One was the rich girl, like the purple-haired one was the rich kid kind of in overhead. The spunky director, and then the one Shogo bangs.
Yes, exactly. I forget all of their names.
One of them was Yui.
Yui was the main, was the main one that Shoujo has a thing for. And then there's Mai, who's the blue-haired one. And then
I forget the spunky director.
I think it says Cindy here, but I'm not sure if it was Cindy. That seems too regular.
Because she's the one who gets murdered because
brutally murdered.
Yes.
Good God, she gets murdered so hard.
That's actually, from what I could tell, that was a request because they realized they're going straight to video. The producer said, hey, can we up the violence and add a sex scene? And they're like, sure.
Yeah, whatever, man.
So yeah, I'm so Cindy's killing is pretty rough here.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. They show up.
Shooter.
Just to shoot her in the face. And then all the other ones of them, including Shoujo, get home. And then everybody just cries and yells because they just saw their friend just shot in a room covered in blood.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty brutal, but it's kind of interesting that I will say the thing that I was like, wait, what? Was that Mai, the purple-haired one, her dad is like a rich benefactor. She calls her that day after her friend is shot and says, Mai, the world's changing. You got to come live with us. Come back and live with your parents. We love you so much. And she's like, okay. And she just up and leaves that day.
Yeah.
Your friend is still dead in the other room.
Yeah, she's like, all right. I mean, I kind of respect it to some degree. It's like, all right, peace, I'm out. Like, I cannot deal with this.
She's like, I got to head out.
She knows what she's good at and what she's not.
This is your thing, Yui. Also, aren't you Shinji's mom?
Are you Shinji's mom?
Are you? Who? She's got that Rei Ayanami colored hair. You know, it all tracks is what I'm saying.
I mean, it all tracks. And like I said, the thing is tangentially related to Anno. So who knows?
Who knows?
But yeah, I mean. Canon. Sorry, I have to sneeze.
Oh, no worries. How dare you? Oh, my God. Please do it directly into the microphone next time so our audience can hear. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. That's the first time I ever sneezed on this show.
I think that is your first sneeze.
We're approaching 110 episodes. That's the first time I sneezed. That's just
wow,
funny.
Pretty crazy, actually.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I've been hungover more than I've sneezed on this show.
You have been. There have been days.
Yes, there have been days. Oh, my God.
I still remember the day that we did that. Oh, man. What was that anime? It was like the weird one that's like a long, so many
Legends
episodes.
Legends of the Classic Heroes.
Thank you. Thank you for getting that taboo prompt. Legends of the Galactic Heroes.
Yes. Which apparently is great, but the first three episodes just did nothing for us. So we're like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, no thanks. And then you threw up, I think.
Yeah, no, I think I puked immediately afterwards. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, I'm hungover. Because we got up at like 11 a.m. to do that. I'm like, why?
We did. We got up really early to do it.
We must have had something. You must have something going on that day.
There had to have been something catastrophic. Otherwise, why would we have done that? Like, there was no reason to do that.
Yeah, especially for me as a night shift worker for my entire adult life. Even when I got up at 1 o'clock today, I'm like, oh, a little groggy.
Yeah. I was like, 1 o'clock seems reasonable enough that it's like early, but it's not too early.
I've been working later recently, so I've been sleeping later. That's not a pity me, cry for help thing. I'm just stating the facts of my schedule shifting a bit.
Yeah.
I don't see my roommates. Anyway.
Anyways.
I like the dynamic here between these three roommates, too, like I was saying.
Yeah.
They all get a different point in the story. Of course, you kill the fun, spunky one to up the stakes.
You gotta, which so many animes just haven't done in the past.
That's one of your biggest gripes of recent anime. It's like, why is no one dead?
One of my biggest. Why didn't they kill somebody to up the end? She wasn't doing anything for the plot, let's face it. She just wanted to make a cool movie.
Yes, and the movie was basically about what was going on around him, and that's what leads to her getting killed.
That was the funniest thing ever when Shoujo found out that the entirety of humanity, or his humanity,
right,
was living on a spaceship. He like just went over to the roommate's place, and Yui was like, Shoujo, you're acting really weird. And Cindy's like, yeah, Shoujo, we got to make this movie. It's going to be about this. And then Shoujo like just barges out, and before he leaves, he turns back and he's like, you know what, Cindy? I think the movie should be about humanity trapped in a spaceship living in 1980s Japan, but they don't know they're living in it, and it's all controlled by a supercomputer. And everyone's like, oh wow, that's a pretty good concept, actually.
Yeah, everyone's like, wow, let's take some notes here.
Part of me just wants to think that that's what happened in the writer's room, and they just took that conversation and put it in.
Yeah, I want to believe that they had to go to McDonald's for the egregious product placement of just
they definitely did.
It's like, hey, we still need a little bit of money. McDonald's. How about we have our main character work at McDonald's? I'm like, doesn't that kind of diminish his cool factor as a badass to see him working part-time at McDonald's? And they're like, fuck you. Give us money.
It gave me kind of like Fast Times at Ridgemont High type vibes, where he's like working at a fast food place. It felt good. I was like, good. He needs to be humbled a little bit. Yeah. He can't just be like cool motorcycle guy all the time. He's got to work for that cash.
You got to work for his money.
Got to pay for gas.
Oh my god. Huh. Now I just wish we can go back and watch Akaro and he's like mopping the floor at a Wendy's.
That would be great. Honestly, humble these anime protagonists a little bit.
They can't all be cool.
Also,
how'd you feel about the exposition dump mid sex scene?
That was really funny.
That one still got me. Because I remember the sex scene when I was younger, just like, whoa, okay, there's a full blown sex scene in this, fine.
Yep.
But it wasn't like pornographic, it was just like, you know, a sex scene, and I was very
just new. Like just people nude humping, just like in between scenes of them just giving an exposition dump, which, you know, I thought great way to keep the audience engaged,
honestly. I mean, it just
if you want to put this information somewhere, I mean
dangle tit and
you know people will watch. They will watch for it.
They will watch through. They will listen. They will at least subconsciously try to absorb the information being presented to them.
They will. Because now, like, you're going to watch this anime. Like, during this whole scene, I was, like, kind of sitting in my living room watching it, and I was like, oh, my God. A supercomputer controls their boobies. Wow.
I love the unnecessary attention to details. Like, wait, I have friends who have been to Europe and America. It's like, no, they've been brainwashed.
That was great. Yeah. I wanted that so badly. I was, when they answered those questions, I was like, thank you. Like, eliminate the loopholes here. Yeah. Eliminate the gray areas. I really enjoyed that. It got my plot stiffy so erect.
Plot stiffy.
I was so happy when they talked about that. I was like, fill those gaps and fill that gap.
Fill that gap while filling the gaps.
Yes. I was like, this is great. It made me so happy. She was like, yeah, I got friends that like took vacations, and he was like, no, they went to a brainwashing facility and they just came back thinking that they went there. I'm like, yes, yes, give me that plot.
You're just so excited that all these loose ends are tied up.
Thank you. I was thinking about that right before they talked about it. Thank you for mentioning it. I almost forgot about that.
I was just so enthralled by all the details coming up while she's getting humped. I just thought that was a great touch.
Just sprinkle of nipples on your exposition dump.
I mean,
love it.
I guess that's a great rule of thumb for writers. If you're bored by this exposition, add titty.
And so I guess What? Maybe we're kind of at like final thoughts time period here. What do you think about this movie having watched it again? What did you think about your second time versus your first time? Although, yeah, it's tough to remember your first time.
First time I can kind of reasonably remember. I thought it was pretty damn cool and unique. Still a little unique when you look at the historical context and what was going on at the time. The fact that this was an 80-minute film with all these elements in it. I still think the mech designs are really cool because, like you said, the scale of them, how they're small-scale robots fighting in this like government conspiracy war. One of them had a lightsaber at one point, which was sick.
It's really cool.
Yeah, but Shogo's had a gun, so it was a lightsaber versus gun robot battle. So, I mean, in the spirit of Mecha March, yeah, the mechs, I really dug the mech action here.
The mechs were mechin'.
Yeah,
sure.
I love the small-scale mech battles here, so they were fun. And like, you know, basically a sci-fi utopia slash dystopia, depending how you look at it. So I still think it was very cool. Plot-wise and pacing-wise, it's a mess, but that is also largely attributed to how this was made.
Mm-hmm.
When you have random key points of animation in your story and have to tie the rest of them together, that's a lot to do.
It definitely felt that way, too. It felt very stitched together because it moved quick.
That's the thing. It did not care about atmosphere trying to build anything. You were just fucking going. It was basically the anti-Anno where it's like, atmosphere? What's that? We got to get through the story.
We got to keep going.
We have no time.
We can't put a static image of a boy at a train station for 3 minutes.
while he exposits and sorrows.
Pump in more bug sounds. We need bug sounds.
More loud cicadas. What? Do it.
Cicadas. People love cicadas.
This one said, "Fuck your bugs. We're gonna have robots and motorcycle gangs."
Yeah.
It was fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It is funny to think about that. This is the thing that started the OVA boom. It's like, really? This?
Yeah. Fascinating. I can see that, actually. I think it was something,
context,
an OVA,
yeah.
The first OVA that we've seen in some time, at least, with substance,
yeah, exactly.
And with a good story, decent enough characters. I thought it moved very quickly,
and
but
the
very
animation
well.
That was here was really good.
Yes, I did like the animation as well. It felt very of its time, which is not a bad thing at all.
Right.
I thought it like had that nice grain to it.
Yeah.
It looked really great. I also found out through just a little research this past week that AIC is intending to publish a reboot.
Yeah, because I think AIC was bought by somebody, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, AIC is kind of, they were inactive for many years, but yeah, there is talks about, I'm trying to think exactly what happened. Yeah, but there was some deal involving Megazone. That's what sparked my interest a couple years ago.
Yeah, they apparently started the project in 2019.
Okay.
Again, and then had to restart it last year for some reason.
So
I don't know what
pandemic.
I don't know what's been going on. Yeah, probably pandemic purposes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be interesting. But I mean, all in all, not bad.
Not
quite
bad.
Good.
Definitely not bad. I it was a fun enough time. It's a great piece of history to watch. For any anime fan, it's a cool place in the history of mechs. So. It's worth the time. It's an hour and 20. So you're not investing a large amount of time into it.
You're not.
So I would recommend it. I don't want to say wholeheartedly, but I would say, yeah, give it a watch.
Yeah, I'd say give it a watch. If you are somebody who really needs that loop closed on the story.
Watch the rest, yeah.
Watch the rest, but I've heard the rest isn't exactly worth the watch.
Exactly. So
be careful there. Be careful.
Yeah, exactly. But at least give part one the watch, and then now you and I have to go off camera and talk about, because we eventually need to do a fucking tier list of all these AIC productions that we watch.
We do. We definitely do. Oh, God. That's going to be a day. It's bad. That's right, everybody. The fun is over today. Thanks so much for clicking on the episode. But the fun does not have to stop here. You can hit us up anywhere that you can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Bad Anime Pod, or you can even email us to get in touch with us directly at badanimepod@gmail.com. If you got any opinions or you just want to send some hate mail or love mail, we'll take both. We don't care. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.